Hey everybody, and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway Podcast. Every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team from the EV Cafe, and that this week is the wonderful JC, fresh back from Hollybobs.
Indeed, and I've only had about 4 hours sleep, but the person we're meeting today is such a magician that I just couldn't resist.
A magician, interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll come on to where John has got that idea from in a minute. But we are joined always by innovators, pioneers, and collaborators. And this guy today is a real pioneer and an innovator and a collaborator extraordinaire. And the reason it is because it is Paul Hollick, chairman of the Association of Fleet Professionals and CEO of Lightfoot. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. What a bio to start off with. Appreciate it. Love it.
I know. We've barely even scratched the surface. Paul, for those people, and I guess a lot of the people that will be listening to this podcast will be from the fleet sector and will probably know a little bit about you. But for those people that have lived under a rock for some period of time, just give us a quick insight as to who you are and your various roles.
Yep. So I'm Paul Hollick. Paul, as you mentioned, I'm the chairman of the AFP, and I'm also the CEO of Lightfoot, which is my day job. So the AFP, as most people know, is the fleet body for fleet managers and active fleet people in a fleet team in the UK. So there's equivalents across Europe and in the States and even in Australia, believe it or not. But the Association of Fleet Professionals does a lot of work in terms of networking, lobbying, and training for the fleet industry as a whole. And that is my weekend job. And then my day job is I'm chief executive officer at Lightfoot, which is a driver behavioural system. Some people think it's a telematics system, but it's actually a driver behavioral system. And what we do is we put the driver at the heart of everything that we do. It's a safety and decarbonization tool. It actually grew up as a ESG tool out of an Innovate UK project ready for the Olympic Games. And it then pivoted to safety, but it's very much a safety, sustainability, decarbonization tool with. And because it picks up the data, a lot of people think Lightfoot is also a telematics business, which it is as well. But actually, it puts driver at the heart of everything and gives coaching and gives the driver the ability to be able to transform and elevate their own performance into driving safer and more sustainably.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
Paul, that speaks volumes about you, that you can just say, oh yeah, I'm chief exec of Lightfoot, and I'm also the chairman of the Association of Fleet Professionals. And you don't even bat an eye. That is a monumental workload. How on earth do you cope with doing those two really prestigious and hard jobs?
Well, John, I think it's just having a good team around me, to be honest. The AFP work is a life's passion, as most people know. I started off being a trainer in 2007. And then eventually became chairman of what was the ICFM in 2012. And then I've been a chairman when the AFP was born, when we merged ACFO and the ICFM together in 2020, just before COVID hit. And I've always loved doing it because it transforms people's lives. It truly does. It truly elevates their skills. The training, when you do the training and you run the training sessions, you really do get to appreciate what the AFP is all about. And I love it for that. But then I've got my day job as well, of course. So, you know, running a large business, multi-million pound turnover business, private equity backed, international business now as well, I might add. It does keep me out of trouble, dare I say it, in terms of doing other things outside of those two roles.
But it redefines herding cats. I mean, it is a serious. You say, oh, yeah, I've got a great team behind me. That team needs leadership in both the AFP and in Lightfoot. And you managed to do that. Have you always been a natural leader?
Probably. I mean, I was lucky enough to have my first board position at 23, which is quite unusual. Wow. I'm a qualified accountant by trade. A lot of people don't know that. So I did a degree in accountancy, went straight into business and got onto a board position of a multi-million pound South African wine company, actually, when I was young. And that kind of gives you quite a good foundation, a good background in terms of knowing how to get the best out of people, how to work with people, how to enjoy people as well, in terms of just their company and what they can do for you as well. And I have to admit, I've got a really good team at the AFP, got a really great team at Lightfoot. And it's kind of, although it's tricky to run for both for sure, and there's always that balance that you need to kind of have. And dare I say it, my home life as well, of course. So I've got the kids, wife, and everything else as well. So I'm a football coach as well at the weekends, which also keeps me out of trouble at the weekends on the Saturday and Sunday. So it's busy, busy, busy. But you know, I like working. I like being busy, a bit like you guys as well. You guys are quite similar to me in some respects as well, you know. So it's our passion, isn't it? So we do it.
Yeah.
Paul, it's quite incredible because I don't know that people kind of get this passionate side of you that maybe are looking from the sidelines. So let's take the football analogy. So somebody watching you play from a distance might see a very steady person, very solid with gravitas. But there does seem to be a little fire sort of bubbling up under there. And where's that come from?
You call me dull, Paul. That's a
no. I think I said gravitas.
Steady.
That's Paul schooled.
Oh my god. Oh my god! I can't believe it. Is that what people really think of me?
Anyway, welcome to the John Curtis podcast with Paul.
I mean, it's just. Sorry, I've even forgotten the question now, Paul. What was the question?
It's where is this the fire, the passion sort of coming from? Where's that coming from?
I don't know. I think it's just born into me. You know, I've always wanted to be a winner. I like playing. I like doing stuff. I like being busy. I've always been a hard worker, to be honest. And I do a lot of things because I think it's the right thing to do. I sometimes carry quite a lot of weight on my shoulders, and that responsibility gene, you know, that I think a lot of us get passed down from our parents and things like that as well. You know, I'm a very responsible person. I have a role to play and I take it seriously. Do I want to grow both organizations massively? Yeah. Do I think people should be a member of the AFP? Yes, across the board. Do I think people should be trialing and using Lightfoot? Of course, as well. And that just gets me out of bed in the morning. You know, I'm not around to mess around, really. I mean, for sure, I like work should be fun, yeah? And working should be fun. And I get to work in an incredible industry as well. Everybody that I work with and everyone I come into contact with is wonderful in this industry. We all want the same thing. Of course, everybody wants their own businesses to do well as well. But I think everybody knows that this decarbonisation journey that everybody's on for what's happened over the last 10, 12 years, and now what's critically happening over the next 4 or 5 is really important to the next generations behind us. So it's serious. So we want to do something. And that gets me out of bed in the morning. But like you guys at the EV Cafe, you know, we've all got a role here. And that responsibility drives you.
I might come back to the responsibility and where that comes from, but for me, what's screaming is collaboration. And I mean, this really feels like the personification of it. You know, we've spoken to many people, but few people that are managing their own business and as you say, you know, passionate about growing that business, multi-million pound, private equity backed. So important, right, to perform in that world and to see that growth. And then managing the AFP, which has got members that are fleets, but also associate members, or I'm not sure the exact term, but are companies, are suppliers. And you're bringing the industry together for what feels like a greater good. And that collaboration piece That must be really built in you to see the whole market move forward. How does that come about?
Yeah, I think I've been lucky, I think, with my career. I've worked, not going back to the same thing again, but I've worked with some incredible people. And those incredible people that work for me and work with me have gone on to some really great things. So by definition, suddenly you become quite well networked in the industry. The time when I was at Inchcape Fleet Solutions as they're running their finance and their tech teams, and then moving on and helping create Alphabet into what it is today, has meant that you do meet the most incredible people. They go on to some incredible things, and they are my friends, and they support me. And that helped massively when we set up the AFP and collided the ICFM and ACFO together, maybe about 4 or 5 weeks before COVID. You know, the organizations, one was training body, one was a networking body. And I just got in touch with everybody and said, look, can you get behind me? Can you, the fleet managers that I know and adore, they said, yes, we'll stand by you, Paul. The lease co's, the TSPs, the competitors, the Lightfoot, the accident management companies, the brokers, the fleet management companies, the OEMs, you guys all got behind the organization as well. And now it's an incredible success story, really. From what it was and what it is now is unbelievable.
Mm. You are a real leader, Paul, and you set the right tone in the way that you go about your business. Who have been your influences? Who have helped you become Paul Hollick? Is it your parents? You mentioned them earlier on. Is it them or is it some other people along the way?
I think family is always important, for sure. I had a great upbringing. I grew up in the New Forest.
All the best people did.
You grew up in New Forest as well, yeah?
I'm from Totten, so just on the edge of the New
really?
Forest.
Oh, really? Yeah, so it's Ashurst for me, so that's not too far away.
Bolton's Bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not too far away. So you grow up. At the time, I thought it was the worst place to live in the world when you're a teenager and you just want to go to parties and go to towns and stuff. But you look back, actually, the upbringing was great. I had some really good friends and they're still my best friends today. And you kind of, that springboard and that if you'd have met me when I was 15, I was cripplingly unconfident.
Really?
Unaware of the world. I made a pivot when I was about 17, 18, when I just decided, actually, I don't care what people think about me. And that put me in really good stead. And then suddenly I was off, you know, that transformed my life almost. And A-levels, then degree, then into business. And then I just took to work like duck to water as well. I just loved it, enjoyed it.
Was there a catalyst, Paul, for that pivot?
Not really. I just woke up one day, or maybe over a summer holiday or something, I actually said, this is holding me back. And I do see a lot of people actually in our industry, particularly with a lot of the courses that we now run on the AFP side as well, that the only thing that's holding them back is themselves.
Yeah, totally.
If they were more confident, more just happier to speak out and just tell people what they actually thought as well and contributed more in meetings and things like that as well. It's incredible how that breeds more confidence. And then you can then suddenly become the person that you actually really want to be rather than the person that's hiding in the shadows and probably is only around in the evenings when you're at home with the family rather than being at work or being out on the weekends. So yeah, that really helped me.
That's hugely self-aware. Wow.
That's what it struck me as that it just kind of to have that personal revelation is unusual not to have, because I wrote down the word catalyst, John, just as you were straight in, but it kind of feels like there should have been a catalyst, but it seems like there was just something bubbling in you. And it's what I was referring to earlier, this passion that grows into you, and it does seem incredibly people focused and people centered. And was that what sort of got you into that training piece, that kind of understanding that, you know, I've got something? Because I think you started out training finance, right?
Yeah. Well, I was a qualified accountant. You then start as a specialist in fleet and fleet tax. So, you know, I've had seven jobs in my life. So I was, my first job was as an accountant in the wine trade, South African Wine Company, massive conglomerate, small in the UK. Went onto the board when I was 23 as their finance director and never really looked back. I then left there to then join an agriculture retail business, SCATS, Southern Counties Agriculture Trading Society, which we then sold the retail stores to Mole Valley Farmers. And then I joined Mole Valley for like 5 seconds. And then I stepped across to Inchcape Motor Group. They had two businesses brought together, one in from Waterlooville and one from Norwich in terms of Mann Egerton Vehicle Contracts and Inchcape Fleet Solutions. And there's a new team. And we built out a new business, basically. I mean, it's now known as Kinto, but I'm in Portsmouth, but that was really good fun. And then I moved across after I left there. I moved across to Alphabet. And when I joined Alphabet, they had maybe 30,000 contracts. It was tiny. There was 50 of us. It was young and scrappy, although it was part of BMW Group. Great time we had there. Great time. And we just grew it into a beast. We bought Angie Carlise along the way as well. And that was really great fun. And then I joined TMC for 7 years. Joined Paul Jackson and the team there and led that and internationalized that business until Lightfoot came calling. And then fantastic product, fantastic team, fantastic private equity house. Volpe, I couldn't ask any more from them as well. And what a great business to be able to be part of as well. So the journey is, I don't change jobs that often. And when I do, I think about things quite carefully, where I want to be in my life, what I want to do. My family are very settled in Winchester, in Hampshire. Close to the parents in New Forest as well. It's just nice to be able to just give something back, going back to the training thing. My mum's a trainer. So my mum, ever since we were little, has been a good quality trainer. And she actually works at the moment for Southampton Action for Employment, which trains people that are arguably untrainable, unskillable, to try and get a job back into life more than anything.
So important.
And just get back onto the first ladder of life again. It's a charity. She's done that for a number of years. And that's my mum. And my wife is a trainer as well. So it kind of all happens through. And I wasn't really even thinking about it. It's just when I got the call from the ICFM at the time and said, Paul, do you want to be a trainer for the finance module? I said, yeah, I'll give it a go. And I love it, absolutely love it. And I've done I've loved it for a number of years. So I've trained the basic course, well, the strategic course and the advanced. Because of my time now, I only do the advanced. So we've got a big team, Matt Dow, Paul Myers, Peter Aldridge. You, Paul, have helped out as well on the training side. We've got a great roster of trainers now, so I can kind of sit back, feet up, chalky biscuits, and just dip into training.
Yeah,
just dip into the training when they need me more than anything, or when I need myself almost. So it's really it's great. I mean, and what's really great about it is you do see that confidence element coming through with the courses we offer, and everybody that goes through training courses ends up moving on to better and greater things, promotions. Fleet directors rather than fleet managers, people in the fleet team, and they start running their own fleets as well. And again, that helps with my networking, to be honest, as well. You know, the reason I know people is because I've helped support them on their career path as well.
It's incredible value, the Association of Fleet Professionals, and, you know, at such an important time as well. We started out by talking about that net zero future that we all hope for, or that zero emission future that we all hope for. And you mentioned in your description of Lightfoot in particular, the decarbonisation as being central to this plan. Just give us a sense of the importance of this, but also give us a sense of how fleet managers and how the Association of Fleet Professionals are helping, how they're feeling and how you're helping in terms of moving that needle forward.
Yeah, so from a Lightfoot perspective, you know, we hire the best people around the Devon area because of we want to get everybody home safely at night, and we want to save the planet 1 mile at a time. Everybody that joins the business wants the same objective, and we see that it's all about doing good. And the AFP is exactly the same thing as well. It's all about doing good. Yeah. And that's my mantra, it's my motto that I try and make sure that it instills in everybody. You know, if we can do good, even if it's to not necessarily to our detriment, but it's just the right thing to do, then we should do it. Yeah. So the business that I run day to day, we will support our customers and future customers on their ESG journey. How we can help develop the real-time coaching extends range fundamentally, improves driving style, extends range, it decarbonizes ICE vehicles and exchanges, increases range on EVs. The EV data is important in terms of the optimization. And I'm a great believer, and I've done quite a lot of presentations and trade about this. You can have the best plan in the world. If the drivers don't do what you need them to do, you've got a problem on your hands. And Lightfoot is all about the driver centricity and the driver behavior and how to steer and educate and train and make the driver self-aware about the choices they make and get them rewarded around when they make positive choices as well.
Yeah.
And the AFP is similar. You know, it's doing good in the industry. It's trying to educate the fleet managers on this journey and the industry on this journey as well. The lobbying for us, particularly over the last couple of years, has become increasingly important. More important than I ever thought when we set the industry body up. It was very much a training and networking body. But as we've now got a lot of size and scale and it's growing and it's increasing in size, we have a very big footprint with OZEV, DFT, HMRC, working with SMMT in particular, the BVRLA and even you guys and others. We are a great voice because we are the ones that are running the vehicles that need to pivot from ICE to EV. And of course, we're trying to decarbonize our ICE vehicles while we're also trying to pivot into EVs and looking at new OEMs and looking at new technologies in terms of powertrains and things like that as well. So it's always the education element is really important. And I've always said as well, the first through the walls are bloodiest. So we have an obligation.
But we
have an obligation. Those guys going through the wall at the moment on this EV journey, and there's a lot of them now. It's important that we educate everybody about the learnings and the environment that these guys have either been successful with, or the things that they would do differently to speed themselves up. And those trailblazers that we've got going through at the moment, they are the North Stars for everybody else coming through as well. And it's not a choice anymore in terms of whether you decarbonize or not. You've got to. It just depends whether you want to be the front of the pack, the middle of the pack, or the laggards. And we're trying to push everybody and just speed everybody up. No, we're like those gym instructors that are trying to just beat people to just keep up with the rest of the pack and get them going, you know, and give them the tools to be able to be successful as well. Going back to it, it's all about doing good. Everything we do is all about doing good on both sides of what I do.
Indeed. So let's try and drill down a little from doing good, big generic statement, and worthy, really worthy. It's what we all do, as you rightly point out. Is there something specifically that you hold on to, close to your heart, that you are very, very proud of having delivered?
Good question. I think the formation of the AFP, 4 or 5 weeks before COVID.
Yeah.
And I was lucky at the time. Paul Jackson, the CEO of TMC, just allowed me the time to devote a couple of months just to bring it together properly. But that was probably the best thing I've done. I didn't realize at the time, and I don't think anyone ever does when they're in the middle of it, in terms of the crosshairs, it just needed to be sorted out. But that has given me the most joy, I think. It's been lovely working and growing businesses. Every business I've worked in has grown massively, and I've really enjoyed it as they've developed and grown. And more importantly, the people that I've worked for, the people that I've worked with and the people that work with me have all developed and grown with me as well. And it's just been nice to see a lot of the guys that worked for me and with me have gone on to some bigger and better things as well. And that's not down to me. I just have been really lucky working with some really talented people. And it's all about having fun as well, you know, and having enjoyment on that journey as well. You spend so much time working, you've got to have, well, you guys know this, I mean, it's all about fun with you guys as well. You've got to have fun while you're doing
funner,
it.
Funner.
It sounds like a real journey of joy for you, Paul, but inevitably there are challenges. There are times when things don't work out the way we expect. They don't work out the way the data says it should. It's gritty, horrible, hard, and you have to be really determined to get through difficult periods. Do you have those periods, or is it literally just, I have such self-confidence that it's water off a duck's back to me and I move on and I just get stuff done?
I think that when we have had the recessions, that's been dreadful. You know, the credit crunch in 2007, 2008. I sounded like I'm really old now. I mean, I am, I guess. Sadly.
I remember it quite well as well.
Yeah. It happens to all of us. That was horrific. And I remember being in meetings and it looked like OEMs were going to run out of money and it looked like the world was going to come to an end. And I've never been in that environment before and never since, really. COVID, I think, obviously, all of us were shook up about that and how that changed our lives for the good and for the worse. And some, you know, there have been some benefits out of it as well. And I think those times have been probably the most challenging. You know, in COVID, I was running a business that dealt with mileage management and mileage capture, business miles. Yeah. That is not.
Nobody went anywhere.
That is not a good place to be. So you do start to think about those being probably the moments where you think, I need to start doing something and I need to start getting this moving. But you do, or you always find a path. You always find a path with everything. You just need to just take a step back, recalibrate, redress, speak to your team, speak to your business, and just work out what the path's going to be as well and how you become successful. You know, in the credit crunch, when we were at BMW, we started to fund a lot of the small leasecos and rental businesses. Because they had the same issue that I had when I was at BMW in terms of money and liquidity. And it was a real bonus for me to be able to step in and support those businesses. They had good business. Everyone had good businesses. There was just no liquidity. So there are ways of not just being able to work out how you survive, but also how you can move forward and you can support other people with it as well.
I'm loving this because it feels like everything comes back to people and to how you help and how you do good. And I'm sort of reflecting on the father that you are, the husband that you are, no doubt, and also that person that is coaching a football team at the weekends and stuff. You're pouring a lot of yourself out. And obviously I know that that's giving you a lot back, but talk to me about that foundational stuff that's outside of work, the coaching, the things like that, you know, bring that to life for us.
Well, my wife obviously never sees me. My kids never see me. No, I'm only joking. But
makes for a good marriage, though.
If you were to speak to Kerry, you know, it's fortunately, we've got a really supportive relationship and that helps. She's got a training business. She coaches and she's got a big training business as well, and that gives her some flexibility in terms of her work-life balance. I'm working all hours that kind of are around, but you just make it work, don't you, on different levels. And the kids, I've got 19-year-olds, and I've got a 12-year-old and 9-year-old boys. They're a great age at the moment. You know, I was up last night watching the Ryder Cup with the oldest, and he was loving it. And it's just about finding the quality time and the moments together to enjoy it. The weekends are important, socially and obviously family time as well, because Monday to Thursday in particular, maybe Monday to Friday, is incredibly full on. And I've worked in businesses where I'm away from home quite a bit as well. So both TMC was in Cheshire, Lightfoot's in Devon. That means I'm away 2, 3, 4 nights a week. But you've like you guys as well. You guys are away quite a bit as well. You just make the moments when you are around even more special. But if you speak to Kerry, she'll always say, I'm never around. And I need to do more in the house and everything else as well, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, it's about that intentionality, isn't it? If that's a word, but being very definite about the time that you spend, and it sort of feels that you are quite, you know, I guess you have to compartmentalize your life in some respects, because you've got two big jobs in the chairman of the Association of Fleet Professionals and CEO of Lightfoot. But then also you've got that home life with the coaching sort of, you know, in there too, which must give you a lot of joy as well. So how do you kind of help support the people around you to kind of have that same mindset of being very intentional, not necessarily working all the hours, because not everybody wants to do that, but that being intentional within that, is that something that you're conscious about sharing and spreading?
Yeah, always. I think when you join a new business and you're doing something new, it takes a year, maybe 2 years, to get the team and get everybody around you working in a way that you would like. That and it was the same with the AFP, and it's been the same other businesses as well. And then once you get that level of maturity and you get that level of cadence and routine and stuff, the business and home life tends to rebalance itself out quite nicely. I try and make sure that I don't micromanage people. I think people, that's the last thing I think people need. And I always say to people, it's your topic to run. And just go out there. These are the things that we need to do as a business. These are the things we need to do as a joined up team. And this is your role within it. And this is what I would expect, and crack on, and leave people to it. And the AFP team and the Lightfoot team kind of know what I expect, how they need, how they contribute. I'm blessed at the moment. We've got just over 100 people at Lightfoot. They're a great, great team we've got here. Bright, enthusiastic, intelligent, motivated. They really know what they want to achieve as a business. And it's a blessing for me to be the CEO of this organization at the moment. And it's been the same in other companies I've worked in as well. You get the best people with the best mindsets, the skill and will. Get the best people with the best skill, with the best will. It's really easy to run a business. It's not really easy. Yeah, right.
How many members are in the AFP these days?
We're just shy of 2,000.
And as a percentage of fleet managers, or you know, fleets represented, how many?
Believe it or not, we've probably still only got a third.
Right. Okay.
Because our membership as well is made up of fleet service providers, you know, the lease co's, the people, the ecosystem that supports fleet managers. So by our calculations, around 4,500 to 5,000 people with either transport manager or fleet manager in their title.
Okay. There's still a pretty chunky number. And have you ever measured the number of vehicles that they are responsible for?
Our members?
Yeah.
Probably, I think on estimates, we occasionally kick this around as a team. We think it's probably just over a million vehicles on the road.
Wow.
It's impressive,
isn't
it?
Massive, massive opportunity. Just such a good thing that you're doing. What does the future look like, Paul? You've got a big job, you've got two big jobs. Where'd you go from here?
It's always tricky to say to some extent. Obviously, growing Lightfoot is probably the thing that gets me out of bed on a Monday morning is growing Lightfoot. And we're growing it into an international business. We've got clients now in France, in Germany, in Finland, of all places. We've people trying our technology in the Nordics, in Spain, and Portugal as well. And that's really exciting, as well as the UK really getting into tune with this attitude of, I really want to help support the driver, and how do I transform the driver's behavior by giving them the tools to be able to transform themselves, rather than you can run a load of data or you can have a load of cameras. And we do cameras, by the way, as well, but you can have a load of cameras, but you still need to do something with it. And fleet managers and fleet teams are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And isn't it better? And isn't it a better way of being able to try and educate your drivers to know what good behaviors look like, rather than, and also, although there can be the carrot, the stick, what about the carrot in terms of just educating them. I always grimace around the words carrot and stick as well. I don't think life's like that anymore. It's around educating people and letting them make their own choices. So Lightfoot's growing and will continue to grow, and I got a great team. And then the AFP, we've expanded the board to add more and more fleet managers. There will be a time where I will need to pass the baton on. We're trying to support the industry with creating the apprenticeship programs. We can't do it as an industry body, but we can support the guys that are wanting to set up this apprenticeship program. That is quite important, I think, to the next generation behind us and the kids coming out of school. And for it to be able to be effectively, you can get an A-level degree equivalent in being a fleet manager or running a fleet. And I think that is really important. So we're trying to do our best to support that. The decarbonisation journey for the next 5 years is going to be really important. And I think then probably once we get to the end of the decade, it's then time to think about where do I pass the baton on to, and how do we... And the AFP, let's be honest, the AFP, and I've always said this privately and out in the industry, should really be run by a fleet manager, not by somebody like me. I run it because I care. I like it. Some people forget it's a business to be run as well. So although I'm the chairman of the AFP, I still need to go through the numbers. We still need to pay the staff. There's still a business to be run in there. So it's not all showboating and be able to stand up in a Fleet Mobility Live and or Fleet News at 10 and or an EV cafe to be able to talk about things. But it would ideally get to a point where it's got a bigger infrastructure in place. Maybe there's a general manager, and then that can support a fleet manager to probably be the next chairman.
Sounds like a good journey.
You've got a lot of stuff that you do, Paul, and I'm going to set you a hypothetical, if I may, which is your family are all away, so you don't have any family duty to do. Work is closed. You have no work to do. You have no AFP. You have no Lightfoot to worry about for one day. How do you spend your day? Just you.
I would... Potentially, I'd be a slob if I'm not too careful. So I would need to make sure they don't slip into just not doing anything all day and just watching the movies. I like spending time on my bike. I play a lot of tennis and paddle tennis. I used to do I stopped actually about a year and a half ago because it was almost getting too much. But I was doing 50 miles on my bike every week and a 5K run. Every week without fail, but I almost became a bit obsessive with it, where if I'd only done 48 miles on a bike, it meant I still needed to do 2 miles down the road on a Sunday night. And I think I'm just going to stack myself around going, this is getting silly. So I just do it more for fun rather than just like something that's on a list to do. But I do like a list. That's my problem, John. So if it's on the list to do, I will do it and just tick through the list. So I don't like to not, I'm not the type of person to go on a sunny holiday and spend a week on a sunbed, to be honest. There's always stuff to do. And dare I say, I do take my laptop away with me because I do enjoy the bits and pieces of, you know, in terms of just staying in touch, much as I discussed with my team. but I like it. I'm always busy, but... So my social life is quite important to me as well. You know, I like my concerts. I do a lot of concerts. I do a lot of evenings out with friends, weekends away with friends. So that's important as well. That social element is important.
Who did you last go and see?
Who did I last go and see? That's a really good question. So I went to the Isle of Wight Festival. So that was good. And I saw Stereophonics. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who was the last. Oh, Oasis, of course. Yeah, I saw Oasis.
Oh, that's right. I seem to remember talking to you just after you'd seen them. Fantastic. Well, Paul, listen, time's running out, and we have a closing tradition on the EV Cafe podcast. Now, I have to be honest and say, as anybody that knows the normal background knows that I'm not at home in my home office where I would normally record this, and I would normally be in possession of the original. So imagination will be required for this. But we present our guests with the EV Cafe magic wand. And you have a...
It's looked bigger.
It's cold. What can I say? It's cold.
It's a magic pen.
It's a magic pen. And so I am going to pass you the magic pen. So here it comes. So there you go. Oh, he's stubbornly refused
good
to take
man.
It.
Good man.
I bullied him into it. But we give all of our guests the magic wand, and you now have the power to have one wish, and it's only one. Now you've got two big jobs and all of that good stuff, but you've only got one wish. And we've had world peace, so you're okay. World peace has been dealt with. We've had a personal chef that was dealt with as well. But what would your wish be?
Wish, business-wise, I think it's beyond the fact, obviously, life is important to grow, is the apprenticeship program for the AFP. I think that will really support the industry for many, many, many years, throughout decades to come. And I think if we can get that done as an industry, then that would be super cool, to be honest. Obviously, our joint agenda in terms of supporting businesses to decarbonize and that magic wand to immediately alleviate the issue of vehicle downtime on electric vans overnight would probably be another one, to be honest. Our members at the moment, although we've managed to get the right vehicles now, at the right charge points in the right locations, they're still just taking too long to charge up. And operationally, it's causing too much downtime during the working day. If we could find a way where vehicles automatically rocked up to a 350 kilowatt charger, the van was able to take 350 kilowatts. It's effectively a bit like going to a petrol pump. Then that would be awesome as well.
Yeah,
that would be absolutely awesome.
And that, Paul, I mean, you rightly reflect. I'm just going to dive into that last point, but you rightly reflect that there is already a solution, that if the vehicle could take it, the power's there to deliver it. We just need the infrastructure, da, 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 and then the problem would almost immediately go away. But we're a ways off that. But I was curious to see where you were going with that, but I get it. It is one of the bigger challenges that we have. But what I was very encouraged by talking to a van fleet just recently is that there is still a significant percentage of drivers out there that have got the capacity to, charge at home overnight. And I know there's a lot that can't, and we accept that, but there is a lot that can. Anyway, my brain can't walk past that.
it's happening. It'll get there. It's going in the right direction. We're all helping it move in that direction. It doesn't feel, I'm sure you guys are the same. In the old days, it felt like we were maybe dragging it a bit. But now it's definitely got the momentum where it feels like we're just pushing it even just a little bit now is all we need to do, is just to get where we need to get to with it, which is great. The days of dragging it have definitely been over for a number of years now. It's nice.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I've learned a lot today. John, what about you?
Yeah, totally. I think, Paul, you give me great hope for the industry, in that we focus a lot on celebrity and the size of your voice and the colour of your performance in life. You're somebody who lets the data, lets the analysis, lets the hard thinking speak for itself. You just present that data in a way which is really easy to understand and is engaging. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about your own life, your business life, your family life. There's a people focus in you, which I find really, really touching. It really does make me happy that you are able to marry together so many disparate skills in one human being to deliver for our industry. And we are in safe hands with you. And I can't thank you enough for all you do for the industry, because without you, it would be a cartload of monkeys all going in different directions, and we're not. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I mean, you guys did great, you know, great things. I mean, collectively, this is a going back to the people theme, and not to be too cheesy about it. You know, we're all in it together. Yeah,
totally.
And we all get out of bed for very similar reasons, you know, and pushing that agenda forward is really important for everybody. So I think, you know, I don't expect any thanks for it, by the way. So it's appreciated. it's more about just doing the right thing. That going back to that responsibility theme, yeah. I feel responsible for this. So yeah. We will do it.
And is this balance between, because Paul, I've been really struck by this conversation. This is the first time we've known each other a good while now, and sort of have had the small talk. We had a little bit of time in a van together recently with James Rooney, which I enjoyed immensely, by the way. And I've been really struck by a depth that I had not yet experienced. And that focus on people has been there from the beginning of this conversation. And it's that longevity of that passion and that purpose that is really getting you up each day. And it's so exciting to see. I love some of your language is so emotive, which, you know, kind of generate, you know, kind of confirms that engine that's running inside of you that is actually really passionate and just so full of purpose. And I loved your wand, your magic wand of thinking about apprenticeships. People are talking about this so much, but I kind of get a sense that if this is your one wish, we are going to get this, because, you know, this is something that you tend to make things happen, and that seems pretty definite. So I'm really excited, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much. To John's point, you know, thank you so much for what you've done for us with the Association of Fleet Professionals and everything you're doing to drive that forward. It's been a real joy.
That's great to chat with you guys as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Byron.
Well, everybody, that has been Paul Hollick. What a joy to get to know. And if you want to learn more about the Association of Fleet Professionals, head over to their website. You can join as a, what would you call them? Supply member, associate member, what is it?
Fleet service provider.
Fleet service provider. But most importantly, more fleets, please, because you get so many benefits. The benefits of networking, training, insights, understanding, and, you know, and what I will say, the Association of Fleet Professionals is not just a place where we herd a few fleet managers so that suppliers can surround you and batter you to death. Because I know Paul is particularly protective around the members from suppliers. Giving the right balance, I think, is the right way to put it. Wouldn't it be, Paul?
We try and make sure that we are a business for fleet managers and their fleet teams. We want to educate and make sure that our members are knowledgeable, but it's not all about selling items to our members, for sure.
That's it. And so that's a really important balance. So check out the Association of Fleet Professionals. Check out Lightfoot, the business Paul runs in his day job, as he puts it. That driver-centric focus. And you can tell from the conversation today that doing good, driver-centric, that has got to be good for your drivers. So worth checking those guys out. And of course, all of the other podcasts that we have done. You can head back to some fleet managers. We're about to record a number of fleet managers coming up at the Fleet Mobility Live. If it isn't the 6th or 7th or 7th or 8th of October, and because I can't remember when this is going out, whether it's going out before or after. Anyway, get yourself along to Fleet Mobility Live or Everything Electric or any other event and come and say hello. But check out our podcast. And until next time, everybody, have a wonderful day. Thanks now.